a degenerate uncle, sex with a dead body, the wild thing, hoverboards, and Rick Moranis three times? Looking back, that sounds quite possibly like one of the best years of our lives in cinematic history. So jump in the station wagon as we head to the theater to check out the memorable movies that closed out the 1980s. Hello again. It's Tuesday, so that means you're joining us for a brand new episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we'll take a look at everything the awesome decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, be excited that you found us, as you are about to have a pretty rad time. And for our returning listeners and subscribers, it's great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a man who, like Janusz, loves to be dripping with Zagoo. It is, of course, the one and only Rob.
Dripping with Zagoo. All right. Hey, for some reason, when you're in the studio, it's mailbag time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
People seem to know when you're here, we get letters. So
that's right.
It's mailbag time. Today's letter comes to us from Harry in New York City. He writes, "Hey, guys, years ago, I carpooled with my, at the time, girlfriend's friend to New York City. She was attending journalism school in New York City, and I had a job waiting. During the drive, we started to discuss our differing ideas about relationships. She disagreed with my assertion that men and women can't be friends, as the sex part gets in the way. We stopped at a diner, and when I told her she was very attractive, she angrily accused me of making a pass. We parted company in New York, never intending to see each other again. Some years later, we found ourselves on the same flight. She was dating my neighbor, and I was engaged. I suggested we become friends, forcing me to qualify my previous position about the impossibility of male-female friendships. We separated, concluding that we will not be friends. Still, some years later, we ran into each other at a bookstore. We had a coffee and talked about our previous relationships. She had broken up with her boyfriend, and my fiancé had left me for another man. We agreed to pursue a friendship. We had a late-night phone conversations, went to dinner, and spent some time together discussing our love lives. During a New Year's Eve party, we found ourselves growing attracted to each other and shared an awkward midnight kiss. We remained friends, and we set each other up with our respective best friends. When the four of us went out, neither of our friends were attracted to either of us. Instead, they immediately fell for each other and got engaged. One night, she tearfully called me to say that her ex was getting married. I went to her apartment to comfort her, but we ended up having sex."
No.
Yeah, it's getting spicy.
Spicy.
"I left the next morning feeling awkward and filled with regret. Our friendship cooled until we had a heated argument at our friend's wedding reception. I attempted to mend the relationship, but she felt that we could no longer be friends. Rob, Dave, and Kurt, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and I think I love her. I know I just can't show up there and tell her I love her and expect that that'll make everything all right. It doesn't work that way. What do I say? What do I do? Signed, Helpless in New York."
You've almost become like what? Dear Abby.
Yeah. So here we go. So
dear Robbie.
Yeah.
Dear
so
Robbie.
Well, Harry, the Totally 80s and 90s Recall team put our collective experience together, and we offer you the following suggestion.
Oh.
Here's what you're going to do. You're going to walk up to her and you're going to say something like this: "I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And you're going to emphasize that it's not because you're lonely or because it's New Year's Eve or some other special occasion. You let her know that you came there because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of the life to start right now and as soon as possible. Our team is confident that after saying these words, it will be impossible for her to hate you, and we predict that the two of you will be married within 3 months. Best of luck, Harry."
There you go.
There you go. All right.
You're like a certified relationship counselor now.
Wow.
So, you know, after that awkward night of passion they had, Harry, much like you, Rob, may have also been drippings with the goo.
Oh, gross.
Well,
here's your... Alrighty, we're going to apologize.
To the Humphreys girls.
There it is. It's got to start quick.
4 minutes
in. Yes, 4 minutes.
Well, every time I'm here, I don't know what it is. You guys are perfectly fine without me.
Well, you've heard that extra voice we have, and it seems like it's been a very long time. But joining us back in the studio today, the movie hound himself. Wow, we get a hell of an applause.
We have an in-studio audience.
Yes, we do. We've missed him greatly. It is, of course, the one and only Curto.
Curto. It's stuck, just like the Rocksters. I like Curto. It. Get me a shirt, please.
Curto. That's right.
Oh, well, hello, gentlemen. I hope we can be excellent to each other today.
Oh, we always are.
And remember, we need to be nice until it's time
not to be nice.
Oh.
We'll let you know when that is, Rob. All right. Don't worry. Don't stress out
you
too much
know.
About it.
We'll tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
We don't like you to have to, we don't like you making your own decisions.
So, this is true.
Who knows what happens when that happens? So
true.
Well, I got something we can decide on. We can decide to all hear what today's episode is going to be all about.
You got me mid sip again.
Yes, we do.
We're going to be talking about we're doing a movie draft.
We are.
This is a first movie
first
draft.
First movie draft.
1989.
Yes.
Ooh. Movie draft.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are going to. As I said at the beginning, we're ending the excesses and fun of the 80s today by looking at what we think might be the best movies that were released in 1989.
Okay.
Looking back at a year where we were much younger and may have had much different tastes in movies before we start drafting.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the collection of movies for this year overall?
I think the movies you handed us were excellent.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
I know Rob has problem with, you know, being confined.
The draft class sucks.
No, it doesn't.
No, it does not. It does.
And all the people online are going to say.
I think it'll be remembered as one of the best.
We had a draft class of 35 movies,
Rob. That's a lot of movies.
If you can't find seven, there's a problem.
Yeah, we did.
It was fine. It was 30, but we upped it to 35.
Yeah.
Per Rob's request.
We had to get a few.
You didn't think 30 was enough movies to choose from.
That's right.
Between three guys and having to pick seven each.
That's not that
hard.
That's
only 21.
But still a lot of extra.
And you had 30.
But the ones that are left are dumb.
They're not dumb. And we will prove that they're not dumb.
Rob, that means I'm going to tell you, I'm going to pick some of the dumb ones. So it's okay.
Good.
We like the dumb ones.
Good.
I will also probably get some of the dumb ones. We like the dumb ones. So
according to my wife, I like the dumb ones.
Okay. My wife.
My wife is not the dumb one, but I do like dumb movies.
I'm glad you clarified that.
I had to clarify. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you always pick the dumb ones.
That could have been a problem.
I'm a little slow.
You'll have to forgive our friend. Well, I found a lot of arguments on the internet that 1989 was the best year for movies, particularly in the summer blockbuster styles of the entire decade of the 1980s. To start off, huge year for sequels of iconic 80s movies franchises like Back to the Future, The Karate Kid, Indiana Jones, Lethal Weapon, and Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. Also, one of the most anticipated movies of any summer in the 80s was released as Tim Burton's Batman ruled the theaters. Mm-hmm. But even besides those mega blockbuster movies, you had great artistic films, family films, rom-coms, and even the start of the animated movie resurgence. Yeah. So overall, 1989 really was a pretty great year at the theater and an awesome way to close out the 80s.
Yeah.
Seven movies broke the $100 million mark in ticket sales, with one breaking $200 million. And overall, 1989 had over $4 billion in ticket sales at box office, with movies making an average of $17 million per release. In fact, in 1989, Americans spent more money at the movies than they had in the entire any other year in the 1980s to start the decade. So,
Americans, look at that research. Good job.
Americans only spent just over $1 billion at the beginning of the decade, spent over $4 billion at the end. So,
you did your homework.
Sometimes.
Yes. Wow.
You told said he didn't prepare a lot.
No,
yeah, that's correct.
I wouldn't say I didn't prepare a lot on the movies because I know them so well. Yeah. But I was getting a little info because Rob gets a little tingle hair on the back of his neck when I do good information.
He likes the research.
The research.
Yeah. You've never given me the tingle.
No, always.
I'm just kind of
giving him the Robbie tingle.
The Robbie tingle. That's twice with Robbie today. Three times.
And it's okay. If we're gonna go with Robbie, no, it's with a Y. Yeah, don't do IE.
No, nobody does that. No.
Well, apparently, people thought that's how
it got spelled that way before.
I've got a lot of. The elementary school yearbooks with IE on
IE.
It was always from the ladies, and he's like, you don't even know my name.
Yeah. Those are the same kids. Like, I hope you have a good summer.
It was, you're a great friend.
Yeah, friend zone.
Robbie.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't specify with the Y, so you should have been that's more clear with the ladies.
That's why I just went to Rob later in life. I was like, let's cut the confusion.
And to be fair, once you reach a certain age, Robbie's probably, probably run the end of that name out. So Rob seems to make more sense.
And then people would ask, is it Bob?
Yeah.
No.
Never been Bob. It's never been Bob.
I still don't understand how Rob goes to Bob.
I don't either.
You could be a Bob.
I was like, it wasn't until not too long ago that I realized that Bert is short for Robert.
No? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Or Bertha? No. Okay. Maybe not.
Robertha?
Robertha. Yeah. Ooh, I like it.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
If you get another dog or something, call it Robertha.
I have another kid.
Another kid. Is your wife aware of this? Yeah. Is there four on the way?
Well, we'd have to have some conversations about that.
You've got them all in the middle and high school now. You want to start all over back at the beginning?
I'm done.
It seems like
I'm done.
I think Curto and I, we ended that scenario a long time ago. Yes.
As did I.
Oh, and you're good.
We're good.
Yep. Oh,
we're good.
It would take a minor miracle. I know.
That's time that we'd have to have there'd be some discussions
about how that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I had one sleeper left.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been waiting 10 years.
Somehow I've reattached.
This is my day. Yeah.
You had one soldier of love left. Donny Osmond inspired
you. That's right.
Hey, okay, so speaking of research, this is a little off, but I think it's pertinent.
Oh,
so okay. So as I was doing my research for the movies.
Oh, yes.
Part of the research was including, kind of looking at what the folks over at Rotten Tomato.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And it got me to thinking, because some of the movies on the list I noticed had a really big gap between critic and audience.
Yes.
Like a pretty significant gap. Mm-hmm, there's always some, you're a couple points off, but some of these were
way off.
Drastic.
Yes.
So it got me to thinking, what are the movies with the biggest
gaps?
So I did the top three. So number three is Star Wars The Last Jedi, 2017. It's got a 49% divide. Oh, critics were 91% and audience was 42%.
Yeah, they didn't like it as much.
Yeah. Number two is Venom, 2018. 50% divide. Critics are 30% and the audience was 81%. And then the number one is the Boondock Saints, 1999.
I don't like that movie.
It's got a 64% divide. Critics say 27%. The audience, 91%.
It's one of those underground, like people like it. Yeah. I watched it I'm okay. Have you seen it?
I have, but it's been a while and I don't go back to it.
And it's not something I'm like, ooh, nope. I got to watch that.
Mm-hmm. So, I thought that was interesting.
That was interesting. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, since Rob's sipping, we'll go ahead and move to the next part. From Gotham City to the beautiful landscapes of Cleveland, Ohio, we'd like to have what she's having as we revisit the best movies of 1989. Well, after returning from Blockbuster, before you grab your popcorn and M&Ms, you want to ensure you never miss any episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall, so take a second. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already, and then share it with a friend so they can enjoy the cinematic masterpiece that is this podcast for all the things that made the 80s and 90s completely awesome. Right, Rob?
Cinematic masterpiece?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It seems relevant to what we're doing today, right? Mm. Yeah. He never backs me up. We're trying to really, get people interested.
He's a salesman.
And you're like, hey, what? Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, you'd have been terrible at a stereo store. Hey, does this sound? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Okay, so this is a true story. We were looking to build our house. When we first bought our property, we were going to build a house on it. So we went to a manufactured home place, and my wife's very thorough. So she came in with a little yellow pad, and we weren't really sure that's the route we wanted to go. And so we were asking all kinds of questions, and we went back a second day, peppered him with some more questions, and what about this, what about that? And I can remember the guy sitting, I think he finally reached a point where he was done with the questioning.
Oh.
It was too much.
Too much.
And I remember him kind of kicking back in his chair. He put his feet up on his desk, and he went, I couldn't get myself to buy one. And so we were like, okay, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch. And we never called him back.
So
here the guy.
Remember that story when now you're on the other side of it, so remember how he felt.
Oh, no.
So there you go.
I I will sell our product.
Kind of.
But I'm gonna be realistic and go.
Cinematic masterpiece.
I wouldn't call it a cinematic masterpiece.
Well,
but
you'd be wrong.
It might be entertaining.
It is. There's no might.
There might involved. Be. There might be moments of entertainment. You might. Yep. It might be some conversation starters.
All right, we'll let you stop digging that hole. Right. So, well, as Rob said earlier, we are going to draft again today, but we're doing it for movies. Previously, we've done this a couple times for music, but Kurt has joined us again in the studio. We're going to have some fun, and we're going to we each get to do our top seven movies from 1989. And just like a real draft, I've identified 35 draft-eligible movies consisting of the top 10 grossing movies of 1989 and then 25 other popular films,
okay,
according to IMDb. So with that, let's head into the draft room. Well, before coming on air, we scientifically drew names out of a hat to put our draft order together. Mm-hmm. And Rob made all of the names. He put it in the coffee cup.
I did.
Kurt drew.
I did.
And I was awarded the number one pick.
It was rigged.
That's three in a row, by the way.
So dumb.
Rob is going to draft second.
Which sucks.
Kurt will be drafting third. And we're doing this in a snake format. So at the end of the first round, Kurt will pick twice in a row. And then when we get back to the top, I will pick twice in a row. And we'll do that till we all have seven songs.
And I want everybody to know that as we're drawing names, you were very quick to point out, I hope Rob gets number two, because that's the sucky draft
and
order.
What'd you get?
I got number two.
Rob is number two.
Number two.
Who do you work for?
He definitely works for us today. All right.
So. Now, I will tell you all, this is my very first draft in my entire life.
Oh, nice.
I've never done fantasy drafts or anything like that. It's my first draft.
Wow. So he has some strategy.
I'm a newbie.
Oh. He has no strategy built in.
Oh, you've got strategy.
He's not ready.
You've got strategy. Some strategy.
Strategy.
Okay. Yeah. It's what I like and what's open.
What I like.
It's what I like. You just pick what you like.
That's right.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
And you know what I like? Rob's new haircut.
Rob's new haircut. It is on camera today. It does look good. So
it is good.
You got some Dapper Dan in there. It's looking sharp. Yeah.
I'm just sad I can't grow hair.
You can. Yep. You choose not to.
It's only in parts of my head.
All right.
This is the same haircut I had in 1996.
And it looks sharp. It looks sharp then. Looks sharp now.
You probably had it during the 89 movie. So it's
did
all right.
You have the same amount in the front? Or was it a little more fruitful?
It's thinning. It's okay. Thinning. All right. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. I don't thin. I've got. Yeah. You remember my dad? My dad had the full head.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of risk I'm going to go start losing it anytime soon. Although it comes from, I think, the mom's side.
Yeah.
Yeah. True, true.
So, but my mom has all her hair too. So. Yeah.
No.
What are you going to do?
Just going to go bald. That's what I'm going to do.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Most women keep their hair. I mean, there are some out there.
I've seen the thinning and the balding. Kind of been, yeah. So, and wigs show up. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
All right. Well, we've delayed this as long as we can. We delayed it as long as possible.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Cinematic masterpiece.
Oral magic.
Here it comes.
We are ready to start the draft. I have the number one pick. I will be honest. I've been between about three movies here. If I got the number one pick and I'm still not confident on which one I'm going to go with, I always thought I knew which one I would pick, but I'm actually going to pick the second one that I thought about because it's the one I've watched the most. It's the one I enjoyed the most at that time. I'm going to go with number one. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So I just remember seeing this movie. And of course, at that age, 1989, I'm 13. Perfect age to see this movie. A lot of silly jokes. I like when they call him Socrates instead of Socrates. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's funny. And then you talk like them. Excellent this, heinous that. Yeah. I like that we're going to do this movie later this year in the summer. But I will say that I like the part where Bill's dad kicks him out of his own bedroom to have sex with his stepmom. And they tell him to go to the Circle K and gives him money, right? And I'm like, are they going to do that on his bed? Apparently they were going to.
So. Excellent!
The one thing I saw was, there was the research that I did. There was a tagline, and I looked for taglines on all the movies, and it was what's supposed to grab you to want to go see it.
Yeah.
And so the tagline for this movie was, history is about to be rewritten by two guys that can't spell. All right. So.
Yeah.
So
I did like their fancy names, though.
Yes.
Bill S. Preston, Esquire.
Esquire. And Ted Theodore Logan. Yeah. Yes, they were good. We are Wild Stallions.
Yeah, I remember that being one we quoted a lot on the playground.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sixth Everyone grade, quoted. You know, 12 years old, sixth grade and Perfect. Running around. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that's my number one pick.
Okay.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I do have that the Rotten Tomato on that was critics 82, audience 75. Ooh, so the critics actually liked it more than the audience.
Because it's great.
That would not have been one that I thought the critics would have liked more than the audience.
But I think because of the historical accuracy of it.
That's right.
You know, we'll talk about this later too. I don't want to go too far, but the butterfly effect did not consist in that movie whatsoever. Because they
when they took them back, nothing else happened.
No, they just dropped them off.
Yeah,
like Socrates had no problem going back to ancient Greece and going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So this one and Back to the Future really
not the same. No butterfly effect.
Nope.
So. Oh yeah.
All right. Well, that means it's time for number two to number get his two. Second pick because he's so excited to pick at that spot.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So what do you got?
I'm going with Field of Dreams.
Oh, wow. That is high up. Yes. I was not expecting that to go
This
that
is
high.
One of my...
Kevin Costner at number two? All right.
I had it farther down, but it was on my list. Yeah.
It's on the list.
I like this movie a lot. At this time in my life, you know, baseball was huge in my life. And so baseball movies and baseball cards and had the Midwest. So I put Midwest setting, baseball. It's a movie about dads. It gets you in the feels. You know,
the exact same thing. Hit me in my feels.
You know, the whole Moonlight Graham thing where he steps out the field. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
I will say to this day, I don't like Kevin Costner's wife in that movie. The actress they got.
Amy Matt.
I don't like her.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
I just said against her if she's listening. I just didn't. Yeah. It didn't sell me as a good. I don't know.
I wrote down here that she was annoying, but I guess she was supposed to be a bit obnoxious as the old hippie.
And she's an old hippie.
Old hippie. Yeah.
I love you. I need you. I just don't. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah. But it was nominated for 3 Academy Awards: Best Picture, Best Original Score, and Best Adapted Screenplay.
Kevin Costner.
Yeah, and it was in 2017. It was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. Ooh. Rotten Tomatoes it's almost split: 88% critics, 86% audience. Almost, almost kind of neck and neck. So, I love the movie.
Love it.
It's my favorite.
All right,
I put it in here about Field of Dreams, about the feels.
Feels.
You guys still have your dads. Mine has passed away. Oh. So it was just that one more catch with dad.
Yeah, well, I know. That scene, I can't watch it without getting kind of misty-eyed and choking up a little bit.
Brought down the vibe a little bit there.
Let you into the personals.
Heavy, heavy. All right.
We do have a softer side.
That's right.
We do.
We're like 80s hair metal ballads, right?
Yeah.
This is our rockers with soft sides today.
That's right.
Right.
We got soft, squishy middles.
That leaves me. I get two in a
row. You get two in a row.
And I will tell you, my top three have not been chosen yet.
Wow.
From my own So I got lots to choose from.
Yes, you do.
I'm going to go with my first one's going to be National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, good one.
I went with that just because it's the one I watch at least once every year. Probably have ever since it came out.
And I wanted that one.
I know. I was shocked you didn't take that number one.
It was going to be my number two.
Here's what I can tell you. Just from my draft board, you had no risk of losing Field of Dreams on that second go around.
I wanted it.
I had Field of Dreams at about number eight.
It was still that round.
I wanted it.
It was there.
But I watch it all the time. Let's see here. Going with Rob's Rotten Tomatoes, it was 70 critics, 86 audience. Made about $70 million just in the USA. Like I said, so many classic lines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. So.
Well, we love that movie, all three of us.
Yeah.
As does 95% of America.
Yeah.
Just for our listeners at home, and you all know, but that's on our schedule for our Christmas episodes this year. So a good 10 months from now, if you just hold on for one more day, it's about a lot of more days, but you hold on for those days.
Yeah.
You'll get to hear this at the end of the year. We're going to do a deep dive.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
So that means he gets a second one in a row.
I do.
You got anything else about National Lampoon's, Rob?
No. I did like,
there we go.
Cause, on our vacation. Yeah, no, I got nothing.
On our,
hold on. No, when we did,
on our first vacation movie.
That's right.
Yes.
It was based on a short story called, Vacation 58. Yeah, that one was Vacation 58, but the National Lampoon's Christmas Story is based on a short story called Christmas 59.
There you go.
That was kind of cool.
Year to year.
Anyway, All right, that's all I got.
All right.
All right.
That means you get a second one in a row.
Ooh, second one. I'm going to go with another favorite that whenever it's on, I got to watch it. I'm going Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, which was the number one movie in the world, but number two in the U.S.
Yes, number two.
So it made 472 worldwide that year.
That makes you number two.
Well, no. I'm number three and four right now. So let's see here. My favorite Indiana Jones movie out of all of them.
Uh-huh. It is. Yeah.
I like Temple of the Doom.
You like the Temple?
I do. I like the eating the monkey brains and
the snake surprise.
The little dude from Goonies.
Short Round?
Short round.
That's him.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Short Round, that movie would not be great at all.
And I liked it because...
Like the hold on lady, we're going for a ride when they're cutting the bridge.
And I also like that because of Temple of Doom, they invented the PG-13 rating because it was a little crazy.
It was dark, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But there was, for some reason, me and my wife use a lot of the lines in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how this comes up, but Jehovah starts with an I.
Yeah.
We say that randomly in our household. Let's see. What else do I got? The penitent man kneels before God, and then Sean Connery just going penitent.
Penitent.
And I'll randomly just say that one.
Well, I was never a huge Indiana fan. My dad liked those movies a lot, so I watched them with him, and I always thought they were good, but like I don't revisit them. Like, I don't rewatch them very often. So, and I'll tell you, The Last Crusade, probably the best part of that movie, I thought, was the hot blonde lady who then turns into a Nazi.
You see Indiana?
Yeah,
it's yours and I.
She was fantastic. A great pair of German boobs, I think.
German boobs that... Nazi boobs.
Nazi boobs. Well,
Temple of Doom was the first movie I remember... My parents watching on, we got a VHS player.
Oh, wow.
And that was the first.
That wasn't until 1989 you got a VHS player?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, no, because Temple of Doom was before.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Temple of Doom. My bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Not this
one. No, not this one. No, Temple of Doom was the first VHS I remember we rented and watched.
Mm-hmm. That's a seminal. Because
I remember the Monkey Brains.
That's a great, I love the Monkey Brains. Yeah. It's good.
Yep.
I don't know if that movie holds up if I go watch it now, but I like the Monkey Brains part. Kate is it Kate Capshaw? Yeah, because it's Spielberg's wife now. Yeah. She screams a lot in that movie.
Yes, she does.
All right.
Yes,
she's lots a screamer.
She's a screamer. All right, Rob, that takes you to your second pick in round number two.
All right, I'm going to go with Batman.
Oh, there it was. Who saw that coming?
Huh? Everybody?
Biggest movie of the year. Yeah. I'm surprised it didn't go in the first round.
Yeah.
So.
Critics 76, audience 84 on Rotten Tomatoes. A little surprising. Directed by Tim Burton. Tim Burton. Installment of the Batman film series. You got Nicholson, you got Keaton, Basinger, the big cast. It was a big movie.
Yeah.
My thing that I put in my notes was, to me, this is the superhero movie for me.
Good.
This is when, you know, even with all the Marvel and the, you know, that whole... To me, this is the movie.
It's not Green Lantern. I thought he said it was Green Lantern.
Secret.
Yeah.
Don't tell.
Yeah. No, this is for me, this is an iconic movie.
This is the first movie.
The way it was filmed and the style and the, you know,
it was dark.
Yeah.
This is the first movie I remember like anticipating seeing, because before then I went to movies and saw movies that I liked, but this is one like you were waiting for it to come out. And it's because this is the first one they really did the monster like marketing push ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
You had Happy Meals.
Yeah.
Prince was already doing videos. It was like on Times Square with the Batman. Like everything
Had
bat crazy before the movie ever even came out.
People had posters of the car on their in their rooms like that.
I think it's the first movie I ever went to the theater to watch multiple times.
Ooh.
Like I'd seen movies in theaters, but I don't think this is the first one I think I went two or three times and paid to watch again. Because I remember my dad saying, "Why are you going to see it again?"
Yeah.
I was like, I guess I got to watch it again.
Yeah.
So. I will surprise you. I actually went to this one in the theater.
Wow.
Yeah,
we saved up
the nickels and I went. Wow. But yeah, it was, I for some reason, I love the old Batman TV show with Adam West.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would watch that and what was that, made in the 60s or something? I was like, I don't know why I watched it, but I would watch it and then it was like, oh, I want to go watch Batman.
Yeah, and I think Batman, I've always just liked him as a comic character because he's kind of the anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
He's the
non-superpower hero.
And I love it. At the time of its release, it was the fifth highest grossing film in history.
Ooh.
At the time, it was, you know, nice. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is good.
So,
Rob, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever danced with the devil in the
pale moonlight.
That's what I ask all.
You're prey. You want
I just
prey,
like the
Rob.
Sound of it.
Yeah. I just like the sound of it.
That's what I ask of all.
It sounds good.
Come on, Vicky Vale.
Yeah. Vicky Vale. Oh, plug for Batman. We will also be doing that on a deep dive this October.
Ooh, wow.
So
now
in,
people
folks.
Have something to look forward to.
They always have something to look forward to, Rob. The three of us is always something to look
forward
to. Well,
mostly the two of you. Me every once in a while.
No, you're the perfect amount for them.
That's right.
So there you go.
Any more and you'd be sick.
Overloaded.
you might need some Pepto.
Not that guy again. All right. Well, I get to go twice now.
So
I'm going big time here. My second pick, number 6 overall in the second round, I am going with Major League.
Uh-huh.
That is a fantastic movie. Yep. I was a huge baseball player, baseball fan, love this movie, everything about it, Wild Thing, Willie Mays, Hayes, all of it. My favorite quote in that movie is, "You may run like Hayes, but you hit like shit." I love that. That is good. I love that movie, but it's hilarious from start to finish. And the tagline for that movie, to get you to the theaters. So it might have been on a poster or wherever they put it, but it says, "When these three oddballs try to play hardball, the result is totally screwball." All right. So there you go. Ooh, so somebody in Hollywood got paid a lot of money to throw that little tagline together, and someone's like, "Ooh, that sounds intriguing. I'm going to go see that now."
That's right. I just love the coach. This is a gruff old coach.
I love that
coach.
I
don't need any of that olay bullshit.
Or like the one where he's like, "I'm too old to go diving into lockers," or something like that. So he just stands naked.
Do you want to grab a towel? I don't. Yeah.
We can't.
For some reason, I ran.
Hold on real quick. Or when he catches the ball in his hat. Willie Mays.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Great catch, Hayes. Don't ever do it again.
Yeah. For some reason, I ran with a group of folks, and that one of the people in our group used to all the time say, "Up your butt, Joe Boo."
Yeah. When you say ran with a group, what, did you have a gang or
something?
A gang. What are you guys doing?
It was a small gang of
the Lady Killers.
Yes. And we did dance.
It was the original version of the Robsters.
Yes, it was the original. Yeah,
we did dance fighting in the alleys. Nice. Yes, we're like dun 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 dun.
It was a very small thing of. It was an early version of the Robsters before he knew how to build it.
That's right.
If you build it, they will come.
Bats. If you build it, they will join.
That's right.
With bats and grenades.
That's why he picked Field of Dreams number 1.
That's right.
He goes, "Because for the Robsters, if I build it, they will join."
That's right.
So that's right. So
well, he built the studio and we joined.
Hopefully you don't move him down to Grenada and drink a bunch of Kool-Aid at some point. So stay away from that.
No more Robsters.
All right. That means I have a second pick. Top of the third round, I'm going with the one and only Uncle Buck.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
John Candy favorite right here. Everyone's first introduction to Macaulay Culkin.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of my favorite parts of the movies when he asks him the questions.
What's your record for most questions? 27.
He goes, "Where's your office? I don't have one." "Why not? I don't need one."
You have much more hair in your nose than my dad. Thanks for noticing.
Thanks for noticing. I'm a kid. That's my job.
Yeah. Do you have kids? That's an even longer story.
It's an even longer story. Are you married? It's a long story. So, tagline for Uncle Buck, Rob, he's crude. He's crass. He's family. All right. So that is, and then my other favorite part of that is when he's knocking on the door at 3 a.m, but it's the house across the street.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, "You called me out here." He won't even answer the door. Yeah. "Hey, Buck, get over here." So, but I will say, I hate, and they did a good job, I guess. I hate the mom in that movie. She is horrendous.
She doesn't like Buck
at all.
She
makes Sally Field and Mrs. Doubtfire look great. She's horrible.
Yeah, we did not like her.
We did not.
I like the quarter. Here's a quarter. Go downtown. Have a rot. Now that thing off your face.
One of my favorite. It's really subtle, but when he Buck drops the kids off at school.
Oh yeah.
This is the daughter, and blows the backfire, and, you know, and she says something like, she looks at him, she goes, have you ever had somebody embarrass you like this before? And there's this really awkward pause, and he kind of looked around, and he goes, no. And the two kids in the back laugh. They kind of giggle, and I just thought, it was just the long pause, and he's just thinking
it's
about
good.
No.
I like
no,
that, no. Where he, that hat. I like the part where he gets the hat, and he goes, "You think it's a hat? This hat angers people. It causes a lot of problems."
Well, he's quizzing her on what the guy's name is. His name's Bug. And he goes, "Wow, what's his last name? Spray?" And he laughs at himself. He thinks he's so funny.
Enjoy.
All right. Well, that's my two picks there. Major League, Uncle Buck. That takes us to Rob's third pick in the third round.
My number.
What could it be,
Rob? I got choices. You guys you took some choices. Of them. Gosh, I'm gonna go with Back to the Future 2.
Ooh, yeah. McFly.
It's a sequel to the 1985 Back to the Future. It's all the same people are back. You got Elizabeth Shue.
Not the same.
Not everyone.
Yeah. Not everyone.
She replaced. And then you get the
George McFly doesn't come back.
No, either. Crispin Glover. He gets replaced. Gosh, what to say about it? The whole Back to the Future trilogy to me is
great,
really good. And actually, some articles I read said that the screenwriting has been used. Like, there are some people that think the screenwriting for it is perfect. Like, it's the template for screenwriting, and people and like screenwriting schools use it and go, this is how you write a movie, and this is how you write a trilogy.
This is how you write words good.
Yeah.
I just liked that Back to the Future 2 was in 2015 and it looked all flying cars and everything. I'm like, we've been past that. And then my car never flew. I don't know what happened.
Now we call hoverboards boards with wheels. It doesn't make sense.
No big deal. But you can get those shoes.
Yep.
The Nikes that you can buy them. They're lots and lots of money, but you can't get them.
I'm surprised you don't have them yet, Mr. Sneaker Man.
They are lots and lots of money. Yeah. They're beyond my reach, I will tell you that.
I thought this was interesting that Zemeckis, the director, said on the film's behind-the-scenes featurette that the hoverboards used in it were real.
Ooh.
And so people actually thought they were real.
Yes.
And then that year, a number of people thought he was telling the truth. And so they went to toy stores and said, we want the hoverboard.
Well,
and
they were like, Mattel on them. So they were might have thought it was a toy.
They're not real. But people thought they were real.
So, I'll just controversial say this. Back to the Future 1 is a almost perfect movie. Great. Yes. The original 2 and 3 are okay.
Yeah.
Like they're not fantastic. I think they're okay.
Yeah. And in my notes, it says it was deemed inferior to its predecessor, which is really hard to do.
Well, I'm going
to
tell you.
There are very few trilogies where the second or third are as good or better than the first.
Yeah, the only one that pulled off a second one better is like Godfather.
Yes.
Godfather 2, everyone thought was better. And Empire Strikes Back probably being better than the first one. But other than that, it's almost impossible. How could you back to the future? Like it's so good. Making a second one, I'd almost like, because it's funny, when they did the ending of Back to the Future, they weren't going to do a sequel. And then the studio's like, no. We're having that. So that's why they put that extra part in where we're going. We don't need roads. You know what I mean?
Those are always fun. Those are movies that when they're on, you watch them. And
no butterfly effect problems in that movie.
No.
There's a couple.
Elizabeth Shue runs into herself in the future.
That's in the future, but it doesn't do anything in the past.
That's right. You don't think she remembers that when they go back in the past?
I'm sad that nobody ever did the double tie.
That's true. The double tie would have been nice.
Oh, the double tie.
And isn't the part when he goes back to 1980s, isn't that just It's a Wonderful Life? Because Potterville is basically Biffville now.
That's true.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like the screenwriters got a little lazy there, the script writers. They're like, how do we do this? Let's do it this way, Mary.
Mary? Want me to lasso the moon for you?
Crap.
What's that song? The Buffalo. What's that
Buffalo song? Buffalo Girls, won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight? Won't you come out tonight? Buffalo Girls, won't you come out tonight?
Too much of that.
Okay, had to give him a solo.
Who would have thought that would have made it in today? But
I love that movie. I love that movie.
All right,
it's one of my favorites.
That means you've got two picks here. Bottom of the third, top of the fourth.
All right. I think I'm going to take one that David might want. And I think he probably knows which one it is.
I hope not.
It is The Roadhouse. The Roadhouse.
Good block.
You got to have The Roadhouse.
Got to have The Roadhouse.
It's
that is a movie every man who grew up during that time, and maybe some women, if that shows up on AMC, TBS, I don't care where it is, whatever part of the movie it's in, you stop, you watch the rest of it. That's it.
And I think it's well known that all wives hate it. Because I know our wives hate it.
Yeah, my wife.
But we will constantly watch it.
Do they hate about it?
I don't know.
There's nothing to hate.
It's probably the throat ripping out, but I think that's great.
Yeah.
To be fair, Rob, not a big, he doesn't have a big experience with Roadhouse.
No, I'm going to say that I'm not going to say that I don't like it.
Yeah.
Because I've watched it maybe once.
What's your favorite part about it?
I don't remember.
Swayze's ass.
No.
Oh, the Jeff Healey band.
Yeah, that's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dalton.
That's right.
Well, as I was preparing for this, I was looking at quotes. I didn't pick this movie. I left it off.
But
that's also okay because I figured one of you two were going to pick it.
No problem. I picked it up.
Get out of here.
But when I was looking at quotes, there's a dialogue between Jeff Healey,
yes,
the house band,
yeah,
and a guy, and the guy says, "Oh, you're the house band guy," and he goes, "Oh, I didn't know you were blind." He goes, "Yeah, I thought you would have been taller."
Yeah,
it was great.
It's his joke.
Yeah, it was really good.
And he always does this into his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody thinks Dalton should be taller and bigger.
Taller. So, well, I have, what was that? I had the tagline for that. I do want to read it.
Yes.
Since you stole it. Here it is. This is great. I can hear like a guy doing a voiceover in this. Dalton lives like a loner, fights like a professional, and loves like there's no tomorrow.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's good, Rob. Huh? That gets you into the movie theater.
I did like his lady.
Yeah. I didn't like Jackie, you know, although he did bring a JCPenney to town. That's because of him.
That's right.
JCPenney's coming here because of me.
My favorite thug was the chubby guy at the end. So and useless. They're like, "Did you see anything tiny?" And he's like, A polar bear fell on me.
I don't know. Everything's great about that movie. He is a montage with him with no shirt on.
Yes.
You got him ripping out throats. There's helicopters. There's, you know, Bigfoot trucks. I mean, there's henchmen. Sam Elliott shows up.
It's
perfect. Kelly Lynch is there for, you know, whatever reason. So it's fantastic. I love it.
Yes.
It's a great, great movie. So
that's Rob, why I picked
anything it. Else. Eerily quiet over there, folks.
No, well, I'm.
Remember, we told you when it would time to be nice. Yeah. It's time to be not it's be time nice. Not Let's go. To be nice.
Yeah, I
because that came from this movie.
Yeah, yes. I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't know. I don't.
Well, we will do Roadhouse on this, and you're gonna have to get a dog in this fight.
Okay. So and I'll probably like it. I mean,
there's nothing not to like. It's great.
All right, I get another one now.
You do back to back.
All right. Ooh, I'm tossing between two.
No tossing.
Ooh, I like to toss it.
Ooh. Don't take what I want.
I'm going to go with The Burbs.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I just watched it last night.
Goodness.
For the first time in years.
It is so weird.
It is weird,
but I like it because it's weird. It's got good Tom Hanks where he just freaks out and is like throws the gurney into the ambulance and goes, "Just take me to the hospital.
Well, I like, and then he's laying in there. He's laying in the ambulance on his stomach and she goes, "You okay?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm fine here."
But I mean, it's got Corey Feldman.
Yeah, it's got everything.
You got to have at least one Corey in an 80s movie.
Yeah. So
I read that the director, I mean, it's worth reading his catalog, his portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Gremlins nice. 2.
Yep.
Piranha, The Howling,
Ooh.
Explorers, Innerspace,
Good one.
Matinee, Small Soldiers, and Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Nice. Ooh, Looney Tunes back in action.
I like it.
Yeah,
see? That's a solid one.
That'll be on a next list I make.
That's right.
100%.
My favorite character in those, it was Bruce Dern.
He's crazy in that.
I love it. When they get into the house and they finally meet the family for the first time and the elder guy, the oldest, the patriarch.
Yeah.
He freaks out about something, and Bruce Dern goes, "What does he say?" He goes, "You're a 9 on the tension scale, there, buddy," or something like that. And he pats him on the back, and then when he's hiding he's got the toupee, and he goes, "You've had that in your trousers all day."
Trousers.
I love it.
All right, Rob. That means it is your second pick of the fourth round.
Oh, okay. I want to see what's left.
There's a lot left.
Okay, there's anything a lot left. Want. Yeah, and I think the ones that I'm gonna pick are
All right, let's go.
Okay, sorry.
No, we don't want to rush him. You need to make a couple calls. He's trying to make a trade at the deadline here. I'll give you my third rounder for a fifth rounder.
We're on the clock. Yep. Okay, I'm doing it. We're going to go with Glory.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Glory.
Nice.
So there's a historical war drama. Yes. Critics gave it 95, audience 93. So everybody loves it. Everybody's listening.
Denzel won an Academy Award.
Yes. So the film was nominated for 5 Academy Awards and won 3. So it was Best Supporting Actor for Denzel Washington. He also won a Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor. Best Art Direction, nominated. Best Cinematography, 1. Best Film Editing, nominated. And Best Sound, 1. And then in the 33rd Grammys, James Horner won a Grammy for the Best Instrumental Composition written for a motion picture for a motion picture or television. It's in a bunch of, it won awards from other people.
Oh, yeah.
Leonard Maltin gave it 4 stars and called it, quote, "grand, moving, breathtaking, filmed, and faultlessly performed, one of the finest historical dramas ever made."
Yes. Mm. I love everything about that film except Matthew Broderick's Colonel Sanders facial hair. I do not approve of that.
Well, it's, and actually,
terrible. He just tried.
I read that the historical accuracy of that movie is not good. Yeah, no, it's not good. No, the only person that in that movie, the only character that actually existed was Matthew Broderick's character.
I think.
But did the regiment actually exist?
It did, but a lot of the things that they won, and like, I guess historically his character in the movie, he's very sympathetic to the to the plight of the people.
Nice.
In real life, he was not. His journals are very clear that he.
I think the best character in that movie is the Morgan Freeman character.
Yeah.
I like him the best.
Well, the Denzel crying is
single tear.
Iconic.
Single tear, Rob. Yeah, I mean, that's it's a different single tear than we discussed earlier, but still a single tear. It's more on the cheek.
No comment.
It's on the thigh. All right.
Oh, wow.
Oh, come on.
He went there.
Come on.
It was the whisper song. All right. So that means I have two picks in a row. This is bottom of the fourth round, top of the fifth round. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go double dumb movies here.
Yes.
But double dumb movies that I like. So that's why I'm gonna take them. The first one I'm gonna take is Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, nice. Right.
Love Weekend at Bernie's. It's a good one. Tagline of this movie: Bernie Lomax could be the perfect host, except for one small thing. He's dead.
He's dead.
So
but rigor mortis has set in.
Oh my gosh. Great premise to this movie. Two guys go out to the boss's house. They're supposed to get killed, but they kill Bernie. And then guess what? We'll prop him up all weekend. I did read this has a little more thought to it than what people think. You know, it's just a stupid slapstick comedy. But what it was supposed to do was talk about the excesses of the 80s that people were so enwrapped with themselves and their own things that they wouldn't even notice a dead body if it was laying around. So, you know, because they're taking cocaine from him and all that. But the scene where she has sex with him, I'd like to see these. It's not medically.
You would like to see that? That's gross.
No, I like to see these. To make sure I see these things work right. And it's not medically factual. I know whoever screen wrote that didn't do a lot of research. You need blood for an erection to occur. And once your body dies, the blood kind of stops moving around. Yes. So it probably wouldn't happen, but she made it happen. So that's good.
Okay.
She enjoyed herself.
She did. She said it was like the best ever. Mm-hmm. So that feels bad, you know.
That feels bad.
I feel bad for her if that's the best.
So Weekend at Bernie's, Rob. Okay. Do you remember that movie?
I do.
I think you and I rented that.
I was kind of, some of these, I think either we rented them.
Yeah.
Or we went to, I don't know.
And we started watching it. Like, I'm like, this is a perfect movie. Like,
is that the,
this is great. Perfect.
Where he goes skiing. Does he get pulled behind a boat?
He gets pulled behind a boat.
Yeah. He hits all the buoys. You
know? By the way, I saw a thing, the stunt man that was him. He broke three ribs while they were dragging him behind the boat. So.
Well, and when he would start to come alive.
Yeah.
And his ass up in the air.
Oh, I just love that you throw glasses on a dead body.
And nobody noticed.
Perfect.
He just went into Weekend at Bernie's too.
He did.
Weekend at Bernie's too? Is that's when they do the the little magic spell or whatever,
that's
and
what
he can start walking.
Yes,
and he
does that's little what it thing. Was.
How about the audacity to do this movie twice? All right, come on, we got it the first time.
No, the really second one was good.
So
I always do the Weekend at Bernie's walk from Weekend at Bernie's too. It has to be to a beat, a calypso beat.
Sunglasses have never been more important than a movie, maybe than this one right here.
I did that for Major League too as well. Because I was doing my notes and I watched it and I remembered things from it. I went, that must have been from two.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I got my movies mixed up.
So my first pick, which is at the top of, I think, round five. Is that where we are? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The top of round five. My second pick in a row here. I'm going with UHF. Weird Al Yankovic driven. Wonderful
right
movie.
Now.
I love this movie. Tagline
somebody
for
online
this,
said, Rob's going to pick you.
Oh, yeah. Tagline for this, it's crazy. It's outrageous. It's the television station run by a lunatic.
Wow.
So all I can say is Stanley Spadowski's Funhouse, Spatula City. I like when he teaches poodles how to fly. I love Spatula City. He's like, they make great gifts.
Yeah.
You have beautiful spatulas.
You talk about things that get said random in your house. I mean, my family doesn't say it, but I've said it multiple times in my life where, you get to drink from the firehouse. like it's a reward.
That is a thing.
I had never seen this movie until last week. David came over and we're like,
how'd you feel about it?
I actually liked it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
It's funny.
It was, I was just expecting Weird Al, just crazy Weird Al the whole time. But no, it had a classic 80s kind of movie cliche of we got to raise the money to save the thing. And I put it, it's kind of like Empire Records, got to raise the money, save the thing.
Damn the man, save the empire. Right. That's right. Yeah. I love you, Chef. That's another one Rob and I watched together.
Oh, yeah.
So as the big Weird Al.
I feel like you guys didn't watch anything apart.
We watched a lot of movies
You were
together.
Connected
we were at movie, the hip. We were movie boys. That's what they called us.
They did. Oh my God, there goes the movie boys.
It's the movie boys.
I can't believe they're going to play baseball today. They're the movie boys.
Nobody.
You would think we solved mysteries and stuff. No, we just watched movies.
We did.
Yeah. Where are you guys headed? Blockbuster? Hey, there goes the movie boys.
That's right.
The movie boys.
Have fun, boys. Have fun storming the castle.
Oh, crap. The movie boys.
Oh, all right. Okay. That takes, so Weekend at Bernie's UHS. F off the board.
All right.
So round five, back to Rob for his next.
Round five.
Ooh, I don't know.
He's thinking hard.
Yeah, three more choices.
I'm going to go with Dead Poets Society.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at Mr.
It's a heady one. It's a heady one.
Because when he was 12, he was really into those heady movies.
I had that lower on my list just because I didn't want to think.
I actually owned it.
I used to come over to Rob's bedroom, and his mom and dad be like, go ahead and go in there. Right. And as soon as I walk in, he's standing on the bed. Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Head out.
I had to turn off the John Lee Hooker and
hide the Tony Braxton nudie mag.
The Tony Braxton lookalike nudie mag.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
So it's a coming of age drama, as it's called. It was Robin Williams. He was kind of this
cool
unorthodox teacher. Gets into some trouble. They fire him, and everybody rallies around him. And the film's line, "Carpe diem, seize the day, boys, make your lives extraordinary," was voted the 95th greatest movie quote by the American Film Institute.
You ran out of speed there.
Yeah, I did.
It was a lot.
The critics didn't like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Siskel and Ebert disagreed with Williams' Oscar nomination. Ebert said that he would have swapped Williams with either Matt Dillon for Drugstore Cowboy.
Okay.
Or John Cusack for Say Anything.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Ebert chose the film's Best Picture nomination as the worst nomination of the year, believing it took a slot that could have gone to Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing.
Ooh.
People didn't like it.
Good movie.
Rotten Tomatoes, critics 84, audience 92. So the audience loves it.
Nice.
Yeah. Received an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay. The film was a critical and commercial success. Academy Award nominations for Best Picture and Best Director and Best Actor for Williams.
Yes. So there you go. Ooh. But you can see my thought process is in 1989. This is a great movie, Oscar worthy, all these things. I'm watching Weekend at Bernie's, right? Yeah. So, everyone's like, oh, look at this. No, thanks. I want the dead body.
Well, as a 9-year-old, I wasn't thinking Dead Poet Society. Dead Poet Society. Oh, that sounds good. Let me go ponder that one.
He's 9-year-old at the dinner table ripping a book. No.
Standing up. For the little man.
Standing up for, hey, little man. All right. That means, Kurt, you got two in a row.
I got two in a row.
This is going to be big right here.
This is pick five and six.
There is lots of good stuff to study.
There are. I'm trying to decide where am I at my list. I've got things back and forth.
I definitely think I think you should pick one, but let's see
what you do. I'm going to pick... We're going to go Ghostbusters 2.
There it goes.
You may not like it, but I enjoy it.
I enjoy it. I have no problem.
Yeah. Rob gave me an ooh like he did not like it.
I
will say I think Janusz is the best part of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I love him so much in that.
I like when they're in court. And he goes, Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the audience, I don't think it's fair to call my clients frauds. Sure, the blackout was a big problem for everybody. I was trapped in an elevator for 2 hours, and I had to make the whole time. But I don't blame them, because one time I turned into a dog, and they helped me. Thank you.
There you go.
That was his opening statement.
Vigo. Yeah.
Vigo.
I never understood about Ghostbusters 2 is this. They go to do other jobs after Ghostbusters. And then when they assemble back together, you okay over there?
I got the shivers.
He got a little shiver. He got excited. Ooh.
He does like the
blood. I was telling him about Ghostbusters 2, and he goes, ooh.
He had the ghost inside him.
He got the ghost. But I never understand why when they reconvene together, their uniforms and their car and on their building, they put a ghost with a two.
Well,
no one else knows. Why is it a two? They know
they're back.
Okay.
Okay.
So, I do like when they are walking with the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, yeah.
And we should go faster. We're not going to get there in time. No. I don't think they make Nikes in her size, Ray.
The one-liners in there.
When I was researching for this, there was lots of negatives. Like people just didn't like it.
Well, Bill Murray doesn't like it.
Yeah, it didn't make as much. Bill Murray basically kind of was the reason why he bailed out of it. But not all was lost. Peter McNichol.
Great.
And Rick Moranis were praised.
Rick Moranis saved the day.
Its soundtrack single, On Our Own by Bobby Brown, has been mentioned on the show before, was a success, spending 20 weeks on the music charts. And then it was the eighth, despite all that, it was the eighth highest grossing film of the year.
Nice.
So despite all that negative stuff, it was still, people liked it.
The tagline on that was, the superstars of the supernatural are back, and this time it's not a marshmallow roast.
That's right.
Oh.
Ooh.
They were roasting slime.
They
were slime time.
Drippings with the goo.
They were drippings with the goo. Why am I drippings with the goo? Where are you from? The Upper West Side.
I love that. The Vigo.
That's right.
So, all right. You get another pick. Sixth round.
All right, I got two picks left. Cautious with these picks. Mm.
These are important.
All right. I'm going to go with... I'm going to surprise you all.
Yes.
Steel Magnolias.
I saw that coming. Yeah, he's got a little place in his heart.
I got a little place in the heart. Weezer.
Go ahead and tell us why the Steel Magnolias.
I watched a lot of movies with my mama.
There we go.
It was a movie. My mommy was a big Dolly Parton fan. Everything else, 9 to 5, everything.
Yeah,
and so it was one it was on a lot.
Yeah,
and
that's cool.
It was. Got track lighting. How's your son? Oh, Steve's fine.
Dude, fine.
You got it. Yeah. Julia Roberts got the diabetes. Her. And it gets her.
Yeah, when she passed out, that kid was no help.
No.
He just.
Come on. Come on, kid.
I mean, call somebody, right?
Call somebody. So, yes, that's why I'm picking that one.
That's cool. That's cool.
That is a mama's boy pick.
I got you. Here, hit Weeza.
Yeah.
Punch her right in the face. So
that's a good. That's I like that pick.
I don't like Daryl Hannah's glasses in that movie.
Those are great.
It was 1989. There were better glasses to wear at that time in their life, but that's fine. Mm. So, and I didn't like when Julia cut all her hair off. I don't know who told her that haircut was working.
It was just easier.
I don't think she liked it though when it happened, but that's fine. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a good pick.
Steel Magnolias, Rob. You feeling good about that one?
I like that one. I
heard my mama's boy.
I like his justification for it.
I gotcha. All right. That takes us to, that means a mom movie. We've had a dad movie.
Yeah.
All right. We're checking all the boxes today.
Oh, now we're going to do a family
more
movie.
More feels. Oh, well, here we go.
Up. I'm doing Parenthood.
Oh, that's a great one.
That's one of the I watched it last night.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I had to kind of watch some clips and stuff just to get my memory going again. And I was like, oh, I forgot how much I loved it. So you got a family comedy. It's got a big cast, kind of an all-star cast. Steve Martin, Tom Hulce, who plays Mozart and Amadeus. You got Rick Moranis, Keanu Reeves, Jason Robards, Mary Steenburgen, directed by Ron Howard. So it's a big deal. Nominated for 2 Academy Awards, one for Diane Wiest for her Best Supporting Actress, and then Randy Newman for Best Song. I know how much you like good Randy Newman Randy song. Newman. Yeah. Who also had a song in Major League.
He did.
Yeah, so he's you love him.
Yeah, he's great. He was kicking butt in the 80s.
That's right.
Critics love it, 92%.
Yeah, great.
Audience, 76%.
Nice.
Some of my favorite scenes in that are I'd forgotten how much I laughed. I can remember laughing as a kid at this when he's at the birthday party. He's Cowboy Gil. And he's like, he goes, Cowboy Gil doesn't show up. Cowboy Gil, as in guilty.
Yeah.
I didn't like the look on his face, so I killed him. I blew a hole in him this big. His guts were
spilled.
And he's like, okay, it was a hole this big. And he goes, his guts were spilled all over the floor, slipping on his guts. After I blow a hole in someone, I slip around on his guts. I like to make balloon animals. And then he goes, you're lower intestine. Yeah. But then when he's riding off on the horse, and he goes, yippee-ki-yay.
He falls off.
He goes over the bush and then he's trying to limp. He's limping away.
My favorite part of the movie, I like Keanu Reeves. I think he's great in that movie. he's supposed to be a moron, but then actually he's like really good. Yeah. Like he tells that story about, you know, how his dad and then like when why Joaquin Phoenix is acting, you're kind of like, wow, that was, and then the mom,
he goes, that's what little dudes do.
He explained it in a way, but the mom, you could see a light bulb went on and she was like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. So although the girl that plays the daughter, that's Keanu's wife, she's just, I don't like her in many movies. She's just crazy all the time. So.
But did you notice that he's not Joaquin Phoenix? He's Leaf.
He is.
He's Leaf.
But the other thing that I liked in that was the comparison of the two families. And I always kind of felt growing up that that was my family, because we had some family back east that was more put together, right? And so we were the family with the bucket on the head, and we were the kid running, you know? And then so they're the ones learning a different language and playing instruments. And the one line where the kid's running into the wall with the bucket on his head, and she kind of just looks around, and Rick Moranis goes, how proud you must be.
How proud you must be.
Yeah.
You know, this is...
He likes to hit
his, like, this head was on us things. Out in Oregon. We were the bucket kids running around eating mud. And
I thought this movie was interesting because Rick Moranis is the straight man in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, he kind of...
Silly sings.
He kind of is a jerk a little bit. Like, for a while, you don't like him. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, this lady needs to get out of there ASAP. Right.
She wants another kid, and he just wants to...
Poking holes in the diaphragm.
There you go. That's poking holes in the diaphragm.
So. What did you think of the special education system there, Rob?
Yeah.
How they have to put him in a whole different school.
That's right.
I made a little note. Not so good back then.
When he lost his retainer and the kid was freaks out.
That kid was anxious.
He had some anxiety issues. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that means I've got...
you got two.
Are these your my last two picks?
Yep. Six and seven.
Your last two.
Man, it's disappointing. So this is going to be tough. I'm going to go for my first one. Man, there's a lot left. I was looking at Look Who's Talking. I like talking babies a lot. I
love the talking babies.
I was looking at
John Travolta's comeback.
I was looking at Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. I like a little people with big
more Moranis.
Can always use more Moranis.
That's right.
But I'm going to go action style here, and I'm going to go with Lethal Weapon 2.
Oh, I kind of wondered.
So I like this. I actually like the sequel better than I liked the original. He loses a little more of his Australian accent in this one, so it's a little more easy
to
understand.
With his coach more.
I like the interactions with the South African embassy. You know, the guy also was in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. You know, he was the bad guy from the future.
Yep.
And then anyway, Joe Pesci's in this one. Okay.
I forgot about that.
Okay.
I always like the memes that are flying around where it says Glover's character is always saying he's too old for this shit.
He's too old for this shit.
And he's younger than we are now.
Yeah.
But, and I'm like, man. And
so, I mean, and so if you have a Lethal Weapon 2, he must really be too old for this shit at this point. I think, is it the second one or the first one? I haven't watched them both in a while. So second one or the first one where he gets stuck on his toilet.
I think that was the first one.
Was it the first one? And then his legs go numb.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't
move. All right, on the count of three, we're going in the tub.
But that might have been the first one. So there is the hot South African like secretary in the second one, like he gets to woo what's his face, Mel Gibson here.
So
Riggs, right? He lives on a trailer at the beach. They like take to it with machine guns or whatever, and he escapes out the bottom. He must have a hatch on that trailer, by the way. So
and lot of these movies, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, a lot of these movies had tried to go to TV.
Oh yeah.
Parenthood tried to go to TV. Lethal Weapon tried to go to TV.
Yeah.
There was another one on my list that tried to go to TV. And did not do well.
Did not do well.
Yeah, they
did
never.
Did they do a Lean on Me one too?
All right,
might have.
So that means this is my last pick.
Last one. Make it a good one.
Top of the seventh round. I don't know if it's a good one, but it's one I'm taking. This is one of only two movies I even watched because it was on TV last night. So watched it, and I remember that I just love it. It's so much fun. It's a drama.
Okay.
And I'm going to choose this expeditiously. It is Lean on Me.
Okay. This
is Principal Clark. Principal Joe, right?
They call me Batman.
They call me Batman.
I haven't seen that.
They call me Crazy Joe. Now they can call me Batman. I just watched this last night. If you forget, Rob, it's about a principal. Yeah. He kind of redoes a whole school.
It locks the doors, right?
Locks the doors.
Locks the doors, keep the gangs out so they can study for the state test.
That's got right. Morgan Freeman as the principal. And my favorite part about, I watched this last night, and my favorite line in the whole movie, you got that one kid, his name was Sams. He was kind of a dumbass, but you know, he's Clark's taking care of him. And then they're at the steps afterwards after he's been arrested. And the lady goes, "Don't worry, kids. We're going to get you a good principal. And Rob, I thought you might like this.
We don't want
a good principal. We want Mr. Clark." That's awesome. I think that's fantastic.
We don't want a good principal.
We want Mr. Clark.
That's what I hope my students say. We don't want a good teacher. We want Mr.
I was just thinking that.
And by the way, I will say there's a phrase in that movie that when I watched this when I was a kid, I didn't catch the first time. But early in the movie, Morgan Freeman says, "I'm the HNIC." And I was like, I don't know. I didn't know what that was then either, but I know what it is
now. They explain it in the movie.
They explain it, but I'm going to tell you, I didn't catch it when I was a kid. I got H-N-I-C. It now.
So. And then I know what I really
like.
Now.
What I really like later is when he has the argument with Robert Guillaume. For our 80s fans, he played Benson, right? Because he's the superintendent and, you know, Clark, and they've known each other for 30 years. But he yells at him and he says, "Contrary to popular belief, I'm the HNIC." And he yells at him and he just stands there. But the funny part is Robert Guillaume goes to leave after he yells at him for like 5 minutes. He goes, "Let's go get something to eat." And Morgan Freeman's like, "All right, let's just go get." But yeah, love that movie.
Good working relationship.
Lots to do, lots to see in that movie. They clean up a lot of things. You got teenage pregnancies, you got drugs, you got fighting, you got all this stuff. And then there was another part where, as an Air Force veteran, one of the guys he expelled from school is back trying to stab him, and he beats him up. But as he's trying to stab him, he goes, "I don't need this school. I'm going into the Air Force." I was like, "This
Air
is
Force hoodlums.
Like, this is confusing.
Wow. This is confusing."
That's funny.
I don't know if the recruiter is going to sign off on this.
That's how David got signed up there. Right. He's like, "I saw it in a movie. I could try to stab a teacher and then go."
But I feel like, Rob, you should watch this movie's. This is you. This is how you inspire yourself to be at your school every day.
I'm trying to put together my the people that inspired me to in administration. So it's a Belding.
Okay, good.
It's Belding.
Yep.
And then Crazy Joe.
Crazy Joe.
Call me Batman.
Yeah, Crazy
Joe. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, his rules in that school were no joke. Yeah. He said if you could not sing the school song on demand, he was expelling you.
Let me hear it.
Fair Isa. Say that name, say that name.
That's after they rewrote it.
I know. Mrs. Powers rewrote it.
I will tell you, the 80s was a good time for principal movies because there was also The Principal with Jim Belushi.
I will say, though, as you two as teachers and educators, the part where he tells them in the gym that they will work Saturdays and all this, I don't think with unions you can get away with that stuff now. So.
Tom Berenger was the substitute.
That was
in the
80s.
That's a rip-off. You know, so you had a lot of
teacher.
There was a John Belushi movie where he was a principal, remember?
No, it was Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi. Yeah.
That's what I just said.
Principal. Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Now you're not listening, David.
The education system was a mess in the 80s, apparently. It was locking people in where, you know, we got to have people with bats.
All of it.
The substitute was a military, you know, he's a... ex-Marine coming in to be a substitute.
Gotta take care of it.
Wow.
All right, Rob, that means this is your last pick. This rounds out your team.
Make it a good one.
Your movie team here. So what do you got?
I'm going with The Abyss.
The Abyss.
The movie I had to have.
You asked for us to put this on the list.
I love this movie.
Please tell us why.
Okay. Well, it's science fiction. It's James Cameron. You got Ed Harris, Mary Elizabeth, Master Antonio, Michael Biehn, you got this, it's underwater, there's a sci-fi element to it.
Nice.
It was nominated for Best Art Direction, Best Cinematography, Best Sound. It won the Academy Award for Best Visual Effects, won the Academy Award for, Rotten Tomatoes, critics 89, audience 83. Mm. I liked it. Later in high school, I had a killer sound system in my room.
Ooh.
And this movie sounds great on surround sound.
Nice.
And it's just, I liked this movie all around. I had it and I owned it. I was in my collection.
Your collection. All right.
I think I went missing.
Feels like you've run out of things to say about it at this point.
No, he could keep going.
Ed Harris almost died in this movie.
So we had Ed Harris and Michael Biehn in this movie because they were together in The Rock as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were.
Yes, they were.
Yes. Yeah.
So I will admit this is of the 35 movies, I had four that I've never seen.
Yeah.
The Abyss is one of those movies.
It's really good. So you should try it. It's good.
I'll try.
I remember it being visually stunning, but I just remember thinking as 9-10-year-old, a little slow.
Yeah.
When's things going to blow up?
It is a little slow.
Roadhouse, very quiet. Not slow.
That's right.
Roadhouse, not slow.
Roundhouse kicks all the time.
Kicks to the face. Roadhouse. I love that on Family Guy.
Tearing throats out.
Whatever he goes, Roadhouse. He just kicks people.
Tearing throats out.
So yeah. I'll write The Abyss. That means, Kurt, you have the last pick of the draft, and you actually have quite a few movies
left. I have quite a few.
That you can select from, and you're going to pick something crazy.
You know which one I'm going to pick.
I don't, but let's go for it.
I'm going to say, Rob, thank you for asking for more movies, because he threw this one in just for me.
I did.
Which one was it?
It is Troop Beverly Hills. Shelley Long in there as an uppity Beverly Hills lady who's going through a divorce.
Terrible.
It decides to be the head of a Girl Scout troop.
It's terrible.
And the reason why I'm choosing this is I was discussing movies on my list with my wife, and I remembered so much about this movie. I was like, I don't know how many times I've seen this. But when I can recite to you the Cookie Time song, because they're trying to win back their merit badges so they don't get kicked out of the troops and everything else. And I was actually singing the song the other day when David was at my house. And it's just a memory. The rival scoutmaster gets kicked out of the scouts, and she has to end up working at Kmart,
calling out blue light specials. Core memory engaged.
Yeah, it's weird because I can always say
I've seen it like twice.
Attention Kmart shopper, there's a blue light special, aisle 17, cookies.
By the way.
And that's like almost how the movie ends.
By the way, tying things together, one of the girls in the troop, she played Nikki on Miss Bliss.
Ooh.
She's in that movie as well.
That's right.
She was one of the characters that got canceled for Saved by the Bell.
She was on the season.
She was on the Miss Bliss.
It comes full circle.
That's right.
Look at that. Well, I will say
So that puts me over the top for all of you right there.
Oh, that's perfect.
My list is better than yours because the troop Beverly Hills.
Says nobody. Says no person ever. I said a minute ago, I'd never seen The Abyss. I didn't see four movies on this list, so they weren't going to be draftable for me. I never saw Born on the 4th of July. It just didn't look that exciting to me.
Tom Cruise
as a Vietnam vet. I'm sure it's great. I just never watched it. The License to Kill, that James Bond movie.
Yeah.
I wasn't a big James Bonder at that time.
I also have not seen that one.
I think that was a Timothy Dalton one too. It was not the best James Bond. And then Tango and Cash. You'd think Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone, right?
Yes.
You think that would have gone right? I've never seen Tango and Cash.
Great.
Oh,
they get.
I didn't say it wasn't great. Wow. I'm just saying I haven't seen it.
They get framed for killing somebody. Had to go to jail, break out. It's a whole thing.
I didn't see that movie, but I saw the Sylvester Stallone movie with Don't Shoot My Mom or whatever it's called.
Or Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Stop or My Mom Will Shoot with the Golden Girls lady, Estelle Getty. Yes.
So. Another one I never had watched was Do the Right Thing.
Oh, okay.
I watched it last night and into this morning.
Could you get into it?
It was pretty good. It's a good movie. It really showed what was happening in probably New York at that time.
Yeah.
And you got to see a good set of New York Rosie Perez boobs.
You did get to see them.
So that was 6:30 this
New York boobs.
6:30 this morning I saw Rosie Perez boobs just up on my big screen. It was a good way to wake up.
Oh, Billy.
I'm not complaining.
Oh, Billy.
All right, we went to White Men Can't Jump.
That's nothing wrong. It's Rosie Perez. She's the same in all the movies. So.
That's right.
My favorite part of that movie is when he
is the opening dancing with Rosie Perez. She's dancing for 10 straight minutes, doing every corny 80s hip hop dance move.
No, I like the part where he got his brand new Jordans.
And the guy steps on him,
and he's like, oh my gosh, like he smudged his new Jordans.
The dude with the bird jersey on, the white dude with the bird jersey. Oh, yeah. He goes, I'm from New York.
I'm from New York.
Yeah.
Oh, why are you wearing that bird jersey? So. All right. Well, that gives us our top 21 movies of 1989. Let's review each team, and we can see who we think has the best. So, Rob, lead us off. Tell us your team.
All right. So, I had Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Batman.
Good.
Back to the Future 2. Parenthood. Dead Poets Society. Glory. And The Abyss.
So, outside of The Abyss, which I haven't seen, I would say your other six are very solid movies. I'm going to go Dead Poets. Okay. So, I think you got five really good movies, and then you got one okay, and then you got one I haven't seen.
Okay.
So I can't say anything about that.
That's fair.
So that means, Kurt, how does your seven stack up?
They're fantastic.
There's something.
I feel like I went off a little bit. I think I did the Rob thing, but I did just because of me.
Yours is the list where most average people are like, I don't know if I'd watch all those again, but go ahead.
That's right. So I got Christmas Vacation.
Perfect.
I got Indiana Jones Last Crusade.
Perfect.
I got Roadhouse.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I got Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
I got The Burbs. And I got Steel Magnolias.
Good.
Okay.
And I got, what Troop was my
Beverly
last
Hills.
Troop Beverly Hills.
Yeah. I think your first four are home runs.
I think Roadhouse was the steal.
It's a steal. Yeah, yeah. I should have taken that earlier.
I'm shocked
fine.
That didn't come.
I was shocked that it wasn't one of his
one
tops.
Or two.
But,
but I had a couple others I had to get before that. So, you know what I mean? Steel Magnolia is okay. It's just too depressing for me. I even the funny Weezer parts don't outweigh all the other things. And then True Beverly Hills, I've seen twice, and that's all I need to and ever that, see it again.
No, you need to see it every year.
So, and the Burns is weird. I've tried to watch that multiple times since 89 and I can't get through the whole movie. Oh, like, it's just too much, you know? Yeah. So,
and I watched it last night for the first time in years. And
yes.
It's very, it's dark. It's
interesting.
It's dark. It's a different take on.
So. Okay. So my, I'll let you two, you know, hack off on my list here. See what
are we going to do?
I got hack
off.
My goodness,
right? Okay. I'm sorry, I'm getting old. I think
it's gracious.
These headphones. The new headphones, they're good.
Oh, but, crazy.
But I had to make sure I heard that clearly.
All right, so I got Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. I've got Major League, Uncle Buck. I then took Weekend at Bernie's, UHF, and to close it out, oh no, my last two were Lethal Weapon 2 and Lean on Me with Crazy Joe.
I'm just going to go, our lists really reflect who we are.
Oh, I would say so, yes.
Yeah, I think they match us.
I should have had Roadhouse, but that's my own fault.
No, no, no.
That's all right.
Mine.
That's all right.
Okay. No, cannot have it.
So. All right. Well, for all of us listening, if you think someone had a better list, go ahead and let us know, and we'll share that maybe on a future episode. I also reached out to our listeners, and I asked them what they thought the best movies of 1989 were. A lot of the votes we got, Back to the Future 2, Batman, Indiana Jones, Last Crusade, UHF. So a lot that we... mentioned. Actually, they're all of them we mentioned already, except When Harry Met Sally was not mentioned. And
I just said not into rom-coms. That's that was my only note.
Yeah.
And Kickboxer, good Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Well, I thought you would have done that one.
I'd consider that one of his lower movies. But
I'm ranking them. I've got, you know,
Bloodsport,
Lionheart, I like quite a bit. So, I mean, I would get back to that one. So, but it's still pretty good. The dude with the hands, you know, the big fighter.
Yeah.
And the dance scene in the bar when he gets drunk.
You know, good drunk.
Good drunk dance thing. Yeah. So, all right. Well, the last thing I'll ask you then is, looking at the list we have left, if you could have drafted one more movie off of what we have left, what would that movie?
Left.
Yeah, off. Well, I've got two for you. I'll give you two things. Of what we have left that didn't get drafted, what would you have added? And then do you have a wild card movie that I didn't put on the list that you thought would have been good for 1989? So we'll start with you, Rob.
Gosh, I think I would have... I would have probably drafted Born on the 4th of July.
No, oh, nice.
I did think that was a good movie.
All the thinking acting, movies over there. I'm surprised you didn't get Driving Miss Daisy as well, right?
No. And I think one that I would add that I'd forgotten about that my sister and I remember watching is the movie Always.
Yeah, I don't even know that movie.
Yeah, that's a John
my wife
Goodman,
was explaining that
Richard
to
Dreyfuss, and the, and one of them dies, comes back as a ghost. It's a plane movie. Anyway. So, and I totally remember that one.
I didn't realize that when I was doing this, I said Rick Moranis times three because he was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Ghostbusters 2, Parenthood, but Morgan Freeman, Lean on Me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glory.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned it.
What was it?
Do it.
No. On, what was he in? What
just help him.
He was in. What was he in?
Driving Miss Daisy.
Driving Miss Daisy.
He was literally the driver.
That's right.
He was driving Miss Daisy.
He was driving Miss Daisy.
I wouldn't. I don't know that I like that.
Dan Aykroyd's in that movie too. Yeah. So Dan Aykroyd had a couple movies also in 89. Yeah. So.
No.
And then any movies you said Always was your movie off the list?
Yeah, I think that would have been one that's kind of the only one that I kind of remember that my sister reminded me. I was like, oh, we did like that movie a lot.
All right. Good story. What do you got, Kurt?
From the list, probably Turner and Hooch.
Wow, good one.
Yeah.
Slobbering Dog.
That's right. Slobbering Dog. More,
I have to say,
more Tom Hanks in his underwear.
Oh.
You've never seen Tom Hanks in his underwear?
If I did, I saw it when I was 12. And so that I don't...
You'll laugh, you'll cry, Rob.
That's right.
That's what'll happen.
Well, it's Tom Hanks, so...
Tom Hanks and a dog.
And a dog. So you might know what happens at the end with a dog.
Dog buddy cop movies were a big thing in the 80s. Yep. You gotta love them.
You gave it away.
Gave it away.
I didn't say anything.
Do you have anything from off the list?
Off the list. It's a movie called Gleaming the Cube.
Oh, man. Gleaming
the Cube. With Christian Slater as a skateboarder.
Skateboarder.
And his Vietnamese adopted brother is killed when he finds out a smuggling business is happening at work.
Wow.
So he gets all of his skateboarding buddies, including Tony Hawk, to help out.
Wow.
The funny thing I found out about that movie is Tony Hawk rarely skates. Oh. He's driving his mini like a Zuzu pickup truck because he's a delivery driver for Pizza Hut. So he's driving guys in the back, never skating.
Nice. I remember that movie. I I remember it.
I brought it up to my wife and I started explaining it. She goes, oh yeah, I remember that one. I was like, see, I'm not terrible. Nice. I just like weird things.
That was the 80s.
That's right. It was the end of the 80s.
We all like weird things. Yeah. If you watch Batman again, there's a lot of weird things. So, well, my movie off the list that didn't get drafted, if I had one more pick, I probably would have gone with Harlem Nights. It's an Eddie Murphy movie. It's got Richard Pryor. It's got Red Fox. It's got Charlie Murphy. It's got everybody in it. I always thought it was funny. It's kind of a 20s gangster, movie. I like the part where he fights the lady. She's in charge of the prostitutes.
Yeah.
And
the madam.
Eddie Murphy fights her, and she beats the crap out of him. And then he pulls out his gun, and he says, I'll shoot off your pinky toe. And then he ends up, I can't believe he did it. You know what I mean? So I always thought that was funny. What's really funny about that movie is when I got to high school, my freshman year, I was in a journalism class and taught by Mr. Fletchner. I went to school with his son, and I had to review this movie. I was on the movie review team. I reviewed two movies.
Oh, wow.
I reviewed Harlem Nights, and I reviewed a movie called Oscar.
I went to
the theater and watched with Sylvester Stallone, Marissa Tomei. Wow. And if you go back, I gave that 5 stars. And I'm pretty sure it should have gotten 0 stars.
No, 5 was right.
I was not the next Roger Ebert. That was not happening out of the Milwaukee paper.
Gosh, so, somewhere there, we got to find that review.
I would love to get my hands on that. I can only imagine how well written that is.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I think I had to type that up on like a typewriter in the class.
Click, 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 click.
You know, in 1990. So that's what it is. So, well, I think that covers everything about, well, not everything, but a lot about 1989 movies. I think we got a lot of good ones in there. If you'd like to contact Rob, Kurt, and I, which we always look forward to, you can find us on all the social media sites from Facebook to X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, to which we've provided links in the show notes. But you can also just Google Totally 80s and 90s Recall, and all those locations will pop up, and you can find us anywhere you need to.
Awesome. You can also find us at our website, totally80s90srecall@podbean.com. And finally, feel free to email us at 80s90srecall@gmail.com, where you can ask questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or simply say hello. We look forward to hearing from all of our listeners worldwide.
Worldwide. And Kurt, if they found us on Apple or Spotify and like this show, what could they do?
They should give you 5 stars.
Ooh.
And in a review. Nice. You got to love it. Expand it. Give it to share it with other people.
Right. Share it with everyone.
That's right.
We're trying to make this the number one podcast for 80s and 90s nostalgia. We want to be your go-to 80s and 90s guys. You know, we might be movie boys, but we can also be 80s and 90s guys.
Right? You want to grow up to be the movie guys?
Do you see those two movie boys? Hey, we're over here.
Those movie boys are at it again.
And what are they going to get into this week, folks? They've got Weekend at Bernie's too.
Ooh.
Now we've turned into a 50s crime-fighting duo.
We're a couple of Robsters over here.
We've got Weekend at Bernie's too. We've got a pizza from Little Caesars and 2 liters of Mountain Dew. Here we go, boys.
The movie boys and the mystery of the unsolved blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. How about that'll segue us right into closing thoughts. You got any closing thoughts, Rob?
I do. I have as we send you away today, we want to leave you with some sage life advice courtesy of Tom Hanks as Scott Turner from the 1989 classic Turner and Hooch.
Ooh, perfect. Beautiful.
These are some simple rules to live by. Number one, don't bark. Number two, don't growl. Number three, don't lift your leg to anything in the house. Number four, no slobbering. Number five, no chewing. Number six, wear a flea collar. Number seven, do not beg for food. Number eight, there is to be no sniffing of crotches.
Mm, what?
And number nine,
that's no fun.
Do not drink from the toilet.
You know, those are applicable not just to dogs.
That's right.
No, that's what I mean. I think that's to everybody.
You know what Rob's wife always tells him to go along with Turner and Hooch? This is not your room. Get out.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that, I wouldn't have to be a principal.
Oh, that's great. Perfect. All right. Well, let's all head to the lobby as the movies of 89 have rolled their closing credits. We hope you've enjoyed the draft and reliving all of our selections. We'll provide a list of all the draft picks in the show notes so you can look forward to a great movie night in the near future. We think it'll be a great movie night. We'll see what you think. Finally, we'd like to thank all of our listeners, whether first-timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob, Kurt, and I. Hopefully, we gave you an hour or so of some laughs. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes. Totally 80s and 90s Recall every Tuesday.
Tuesday.
And like clockwork.
What are we doing for next time.
What's next time? Well, we're doing a movie. It's the 1988 Tom Cruise classic Cocktail. Probably the greatest movie about bartending we could ever do on this podcast.
Ooh. The only movie
and about bartending. And I have to miss it.
Yes. Unfortunately, Kurt is putting his family first. Yeah, and he's not going to be in the studio with us for this one.
Wow,
but,
look at you being all.
I get to go sit in a dance competition.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, we see where your priorities lie.
That's right. My daughter. Sorry.
So that's okay.
That's cool.
So, but we might have a special guest. So let's tune in. Right. We haven't had any special guests. You were a special guest.
I'm no longer special. I'm just a guest.
You're neither. You're not a special or a guest. You're our third, remember?
Oh, that's right.
We officially made you our third.
And I don't like it.
That's right. our official third. Well, Rob, do you have anything else?
I don't.
Do you have any goodbyes in the area of being fancy?
I do not have any goodbyes in the area of being fancy.
All right. Well, then that's it.
All right. Peace out.
Oh, false starts left and right.
Do you know? I was actually going to say that. I didn't mess up the whole freaking show.
Last one. Single tear.
Gross. Single tear gross.